Well, it's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Brother Turner, for the opportunity to be here, for the invitation to come. Just recently moving up to St. Joseph, Missouri. It's up north in Kansas City. And last week we had 10 inches of snow. Yesterday morning we had an additional 4 inches of snow, and I was ready to come to Florida. I mean to tell you, so I appreciate the invitation to be here. Thank you so much for all the work that's gone into preparing for this meeting. Thank you, church, for all of that. And I know all the meals that are going to be prepared and served. That doesn't just happen. And so we appreciate your work, your labor, that we might come down here and have a little bit of fellowship, get preached to. We need preaching, don't we? And get preached to and encourage one another, that we might just have a time to come apart before we come apart. I think that's very, very important. I am now the pastor at Bible Baptist Temple in St. Joe, Missouri. That's not St. Joseph Baptist Church, no. That's Bible Baptist Temple. Just kidding, brother, wherever you're at, I'm just kidding. There in St. Joseph, Missouri, it's an incredible thing the way that God put us there. We were in evangelism, full-time evangelism, for almost 12 years, traveled 4 years part-time prior to that. I wasn't looking for a pastorate. I was perfectly happy to be exactly where God had me. I'd have stayed on the road the rest of my life. I enjoyed what the Lord had us doing. He was blessing our ministry tremendously. I wasn't looking for any place to go but God. And about 4 years ago, Brother Gary Williams, who started the church 37 years ago in his basement, he began to pray and ask the Lord who would be the next pastor of the church. And he prayed for a year, called me, and asked me if I would pray about the possibility of coming up and being the next pastor there. And I said, well, you know, brother, I'll pray, but I'm pretty happy where I'm at and more than willing to pray, but I'm not going to put my hands on it, just not going to do it. If God works it all out, that's fine, but hey, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And he was satisfied with that. And so we prayed about that for a year. And so after a year of him praying, a year of us praying together, he said, I think I need to go tell the church. And so he went and told the church that we were praying about this. And for a couple of years, they prayed. So I've never heard it done like that before. Me neither. But God's in control, isn't he? And so they prayed. And then about 11 months ago this month, the church voted to call us as pastor. And 35 days ago, I went up there. We moved up there and took the pulpit up there. So that's a really weird way to do it. I agree wholeheartedly. But God does things the way He wants to do things, doesn't He? We've just trusted Him, and it's been wonderful thus far. If I can just make it past the 90-day probationary period, you know, I figure everything's going to be okay. Boy, you folks, some of you need to get a sense of humor anyway. It's a wonderful thing. We've gone up there. Brother Williams did a wonderful job of preparing the people. And what I'm trying to do, I'm just trying to stay out of the way. Because folks are getting saved. The church is growing, going forward. I baptized my first two Sunday week. That was exciting. That was exciting the first time, and you know, and so I was making some wisecracks about, you know, well, I hope I remember to bring them up, hope I remember what to say, and all these different things. One of them was a younger boy, and by the time he got into the baptismal tank, he was scared to death. He was scared to death, all that kidding and joking, and I told him, you know, wanted to hold his nose and all the different stuff, and I mean, he was just scared. Anyway, got those two baptized, and I didn't lose either one of them. I'm very, very thankful for that. And after that, we had a fellowship not too many days afterwards. And one of the ladies of the church came. She said, Brother Marshall, she said, I got saved here the last part of December, and I've been talking with the pastor about the possibility of getting baptized. She said, but I didn't want to be the first one. I just wanted to make sure I could do it, I guess. I don't know. And so anyway, we've got another one to baptize here, and we're just thankful that God is doing the work, and we're just trying to stay out of His way. It works better that way, doesn't it? It does, certainly it does. But we're very thrilled to be here and be with you here tonight, and appreciate the opportunity to open the Word of God with you. Jeremiah chapter 6. Turn here with me, if you would, tonight to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 6, when Brother Turner asked me if I would consider coming being a preacher here for the meeting sometime back. It's been a while back. And I said, certainly, I'd be my privilege to do such a thing. And been to begin to ask the Lord, you know, the direction and what He would have me to preach, and searched and sought and feel like He led us to this place. And then found out the theme of the meeting, I will build my church. And, of course, we know that Jesus does a fine job at that, doesn't He? And the Lord led me to a very familiar passage of Scripture to all of us here tonight, I'm sure. And one thing about the Bible is that it never grows old. It can always be fresh and new if we allow the Spirit to move us, guide us as He would. And so we're going to look at a familiar passage of Scripture tonight. Hopefully it will be a help and a blessing unto you. Would you like to stand with me for the reading of the Word of God, please, in honor of His Word? Unless you're not well able to stand, God knows about that. But for us that can, let's stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 6, and look down, please, if you would, to verse number 16. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken." Oh, I could have named this message a bunch of different things. I know I could have, but I just went with a real simple route. We're just going to call it, We Are Old Path Baptist. I'm going to try to preach to you on that subject for just a little while. Let's pray. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you so much for an opportunity to be in this place tonight. Thank you for all the songs that have been sung, the congregational singing, as we've tried to lift up our voice and honor and glorify you. Lord, the special music we heard, what a blessing it has been. And we are thankful for all the work that's gone in that we might have a place like this to come and have a meeting such as this. And we pray, Lord, that you'd bless the meeting in a wonderful way, that you would help folks, Lord, that we'd go back home encouraged and strengthened and ready to continue to fight the fight. And Father, we ask now that you bless the reading of your word and the preaching to follow. We plead the blood of Jesus. It is our only plea, and ask for a filling of your power, Lord, as that we might just be used as a vessel to do your perfect bidding. You know our weakness. You know our need. I pray, Lord, that you would just guide us in all things, and that you'd be honored and glorified by what is said here tonight. And we'll thank you and praise you for that, for we ask it in the perfect name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you very much, and please do be seated. The old paths. You know, when I think about the old paths, I can't help but think about things like to be trampled down. The only path used to reach a certain place, an old path. The old paths were made by constant usage. Someone stayed on them. Someone used them regularly. A path led to a certain location. When I was a kid and we lived out in the country, we had a barn about 100 yards from the house. And there was a worn path from our house up to the barn. And it was worn that way because we used it every day. We used it every day. If we had not used it every day, it wouldn't take long before the weeds grew up and overtook and the path be hidden. Not many people today know what it means to be an old-time Baptist. We associate the name Baptist with a lot of different things, with the modern movement of religion, you know, including even the Rick Warren mentality and many contemporary churches. But a Baptist church is more than just a name on a sign. At one time, a name truly identified an organization, but it's not that way today. Not that way at all. There is so much compromise in our world that looking up a church in the phone book just doesn't mean much anymore. You have to research pretty closely. Because as you look through things, and I use the word very loosely, but as you look through things, you can find homosexual churches and satanic churches and free love churches and nudist churches and contemporary churches and non-denominational churches. And I suppose we could go on and on and on, but the truth is that not everything with the name church on it is a church. It's just not that way. But every church in the first century was an independent Baptist church that followed precisely the teachings of Christ, the Gospels, and the epistles of Paul and the other authors. And we live in a day when Baptist theology has taken a sharp turn away from the old paths of this New Testament theology. And the only thing that God has promised to put His blessings upon is a true following of and a true practice of New Testament Baptist church. Anything other than that New Testament church is just a counterfeit. And it bears not the blessings of Christ. A building with a steeple and a marquee in front of it does not constitute a New Testament church. It's not the way that it is. I mean, who was Paul writing to when he wrote to the church at Galatia? Well, he was writing to a New Testament independent Baptist church. And the same with the church at Corinth and the church at Ephesus and the church at Philippi and Colossae and Thessalonica. There were no free will Baptist churches. There were no Methodist churches. There were no Simply God churches. There were no Lutheran churches, no Presbyterian churches, no Churches of the Brethren, no Catholic churches, no Covenant churches. And I suppose we could go on and name many, many, many others, but none of these existed during the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need not even consider the cult churches. I'm talking about those like the Jehovah's Witness and the Mormons, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Church of Christ, and any other cultic organization, because I have a book in my library that gives each of the starting dates of those organizations and the person by whom it was started, and none of them were present during the New Testament period except doctrinal Baptist churches. None of them were there. No. So to make a long story short, when we talk about a New Testament church, we're talking about a Bible-based, Bible-believing, Bible-practicing, independent, fundamental Baptist church. There's nothing else according to Scripture. There's nothing else. That's what you get. You take the Bible, start a church, that's the kind of church you're going to get. Sure you are. But how is the real thing weakened? Well, by mixing it with foreign matter. Bring foreign substance into it. You think about it. You take a glass of whole milk, a good cold glass of whole milk, and you pour half of it out and fill up the glass with water, then we'd have 1%. And that's just not as good as a real thing, is it? Because it's been mixed with foreign matter. It's been watered down. It's not the way that it should be. And there's some things that the modern churches teach and practice that has departed from the old paths, has departed from the old-time Baptist church. Some out there today teach a new gospel. We know about it, don't we? We have the gospel of pleasure, the gospel of entertainment, the gospel of works, the gospel of human ability, the gospel of good intentions. We go on and on. But Paul defined the gospel in the Word of God. It's very important. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you the first of all that which I also received." Here it is now, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And by the way, that's our authority. The authority is the Word of God. Not some man's opinion, what they feel about things, and that he was buried and that he rose again third day according to the Scriptures. Every true church will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're not going to water it down. They're not going to cut things out. They will be preaching the very same gospel that the Apostle Paul preached. Sure they will. Well, you Baptists, you're just a bunch of troublemakers. Good grief. You old path Baptists, just a bunch of troublemakers. Well, I guess so. You could say that if you want to, but we're in pretty good company. No, really we are. I mean, some of those old time Baptists were beheaded. Some of them were crucified upside down. Some of them were boiled in oil. So if we cause trouble with the truth of the Word of God, so be it. Now, I'm not against having a bad attitude toward the world and bad attitude toward people. I'm not trying to act like we're better than anybody else. I'm telling you, we are what we are by the grace of God. But we do have the truth, and as we stick to that, it is the right way to go. No matter how bad it might infuriate someone, no matter how mad it might make them along the way, the Bible way is still the right way. It's still the right way. Paul defended the gospel. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And we ought to be in defense of the gospel. He preached the gospel. He said, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I came not to you with a power of positive thinking gospel. I came not to you with such a soothing voice that you just love to sit in front of your television and listen to me tell you how good of a person you are. Multitudes are following them, excuse me. No, he came and he preached the gospel. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Look. It's not any of the It's not the way that we would manipulate people or the programs that we might institute in the church that gets the job done. It's the preaching of the gospel. Only God's Word can bring conviction. Only He can save. Only Him. It's not our programs. It's not our smooth words. It's not what we might institute along the way. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is still the way, and by the way, it does still work. It still works. There was a new gospel even back in Paul's day. He said over in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, I marvel that you so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel of heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. If they're not preaching the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, God says, let them be accursed. They're headed the wrong way. They're saying the wrong things. Nothing more, nothing less. The death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, as we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, than that ye have received, let him be accursed. I think he was pretty adamant about this, don't you? I think it should make us decidedly determine that we're going to stick with the gospel. We're going to preach it straight and hard and true. We're going to stay with the gospel. See, the new gospel for today has changed all... Listen, please listen to this. The new gospel for today has changed all Bible principles. Every doctrine is now based upon man's interpretation of that particular scripture or doctrine. And there's only a few churches out there today. Thank God there are out there. But there's only a few that will still accept and preach the Bible as it was written. Men now say that they can define the Scripture any way that they want to define the Scripture, but what does the Bible say? Well, 2 Peter 1:19 says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. See, man attempts to take Scripture and make it to fit every whim, every and any whim that he may have, but the Bible only has one primary interpretation, and that's the literal interpretation. There's just one interpretation of the Bible. Well, you know, that's your interpretation. No, it's a Bible interpretation. There's just one interpretation to the Bible. Thank God there's many applications to the Bible. And God can use it any way He wants to by the Holy Spirit. But there's only one interpretation to the Bible. That is the literal interpretation to the Bible. Amen. People want to twist it. Make it say what they want to say. Use it the way they want to use it. They're preaching a new gospel. There's some out there teaching about a new Jesus. And you know, isn't it an amazing thing? Please look up here. Isn't it an amazing thing that this new Jesus does not require repentance? That's a pretty old word. Repentance. He doesn't require repentance. The contemporary Baptistic churches really don't preach repentance anymore. Their doctrine is that Jesus has no requirement of them. They can come anyway, anytime. No expectation required. I mean, live any way you choose. No accountability. No responsibility. No commitment. It just doesn't matter. Anything and everything's accepted. But I'm here to tell you tonight that the doctrine of no repentance will send every follower to hell. Because except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Amen. I think it's about time that we got back to preaching repentance. Oh, Brother Marshall, excuse me. Hold on just a second, Brother Marshall. You saying the people got to change coming to God. No. We know that's not Bible repentance. You come to God exactly the way you are. He saves your soul, and then He changes your life. I'm not talking about that. Well, Brother Marshall, excuse me, but if we start using that word repent and start telling people they have to repent to be saved, you know, they're going to get so confused. And then what if they don't make a profession of faith? Well, how about this idea? What if the Holy Spirit of God gets in on it? What if the Holy Spirit of God gets in on it when you're preaching it or when you witness Him to Him, and the Holy Spirit of God explains what repentance is, and He touches their heart, and He does a work that you can't do anyway, huh? And He does that work, and He brings them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and then they get saved by the grace of God, and you don't have to follow them all over town trying to get them to come to church. They'll want to be baptized. They'll want to get involved. Their life will change. I mean, God can do a work that we can't do if we're just faithful to preach His Word. I think it's about time we got back to preaching and teaching repentance. I think it's about time, excuse me, I'm not trying to make anybody mad, but I think it's about time we got back to putting repentance in our tracts, in our gospel tracts. I was an evangelist. I traveled all over the country. I was in many different churches along the way. I always picked up some of their tracts when I got there because I wanted to be a good witness in the community as I went out and was there for that week. And you cannot believe, but I would say at least 85%, if not more, of all gospel tracts you pick up today do not say one single word about repentance. I think it's about time we put it back in our tracks. I mean, you can feel like that any way you want to feel like that. And I know God can work any way He wants to work. But I'm telling you, we've got it down to a place where you've seen some of these charismatic churches' tracks, haven't you? They got one verse in there and it's like, you know, do you believe that verse? Yes, I do. Then you're saved. Everything's just fine. Everything's okay. Brother Marshall, you know, we need to keep it simplified, you know, because if we make it too hard on them, they might not get saved. If we don't tell them the truth, they'll never get saved. It's not going to happen. And what we've done, we've tried to build up programs, we've tried to make ways where we can get people down the aisle and all these different things, and I'm for getting people down the aisle. I'm for getting people saved by the grace of God. Get them in a baptismal tank. I mean, see their life changed by God. But I'm telling you, it is not up to us to do that work. It's still up to God. It's still up to God. And when He does the work, it's done, isn't it? When He does the work, then you don't have to fight and spit and kick and scream and drag them down the aisle. I'm telling you, they're going to be there. What we need to do is we need to be faithful. We need to be faithful to preach the Word of God. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Jesus preached repentance. Sure He did. I think it's about time we got back to preaching repentance, teaching repentance. Sure. A person cannot be saved without repenting toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Paul preached that from the very beginning, Acts 20:20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is telling them that from day one he preached repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. From day one. I think he's a pretty good example to follow. Wouldn't you say he's a pretty good example to follow? Sure. Yeah. But it's easy for them to not preach it. I'm talking about those churches that don't preach it and teach it. It's easy for them because this new Jesus that they have doesn't require change. We'll have to worry about change. You know? Go get you a Jesus tattoo. That proves your sincerity. It's happening, excuse me. Come as you are, leave as you came. But the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Jesus always told His converts, go and sin no more. That's what He told them.
That spoke of a change in their character. That spoke of a change that only He could make. But this new Jesus allows anything the individual wants to do. There's no standards, there's no requirement, no expectation. And the disciples of this new Jesus, they can go right on living like animals, partaking in the same lifestyle they did before they came. I mean, they can dress any way they please and still please Him. Understand what I'm saying tonight, please. I know a person's not saved by their looks. And I know a person's not saved by what they do or how they dress or all these different things. But when a person truly gets saved by the grace of God, he will look different. He will act different. Things in his life will change. Something as big as the Holy Spirit of God doesn't move into someone's life without causing a change along the way. It will change. There will be things that are different. I mean, it does still work, doesn't it? God's plan. God's way. You remember that demon-possessed man over there in Luke chapter 8? You know, they went forth to the land. They found him. He was there in the graveyard. The Bible says he was naked. Said he was demon-possessed, living there in that graveyard. And Jesus said, "Hey, what's your name?" He said, "Legion, because a lot of devils live in here." And he said, the devil said, "Now don't make us go into the deep." And they said, "Let us go into those pigs that are standing there over there on the hill." Jesus said, "So be it, get in the pigs." The pigs ran violently down the hill into the sea, drowned. The people that were watchers of the pig keepers, they said, "It's too weird, man." But you have to read the whole account, get that. "It's too weird, man. Let's go to town and tell everybody what happened." And they did. In fact, the Bible says over in Luke chapter 8 that they went and told everybody in the city and everybody in the country. They just went and told everybody. And then it says that the people came back to see what was happening, what had gone on. And when they got back, well, verse 35 of that chapter says, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus. Listen, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid because of what God had done. See, after this man's encounter with Jesus Christ, he was a totally different man. He changed his location. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus. He changed his manner of dress. Thank goodness he was wearing clothes. Salvation, if you'll listen to God after salvation, if you will listen to God, it will cause you to cover up. Well, that went over real good, didn't it? But it will. You'll change your manner of dress if you're listening to God. And he was in his right mind. Changed his frame of mind. I don't know about you. I've saved at the age of 27. It changed my mind about a lot of things. It changed the way I walked. It changed the way I talked. It changed the way I dressed. I mean, it changed me. Still doing it today. See, the right doctrine makes a difference in a person. When I first got saved, when you first got saved, you weren't much different from anyone that was lost. But as you begin to pray and read your Bible, I mean, as you heard and begin to practice the doctrine of Christianity, you begin to change. And you change a little here and you change a little there and continue to listen to God. In a period of time, you didn't even resemble the person you were before you got saved. God had changed you so much. The person of the gospel changed you. The person of the gospel. Come on, stay with me here. Listen, understand that this new Jesus that they're preaching out there today is not a person. He's not a living being. This new Jesus is just a teaching. It's just a false doctrine. It's just a practice that man has developed in his own religious perception. By doing that, then man can make Jesus to be anything he wants him to be. He can have any requirement he wants, nothing required of the followers. If Jesus is not a person, then there's no set standard doctrine. And everyone is free and open to teach their own philosophy. Is Jesus not a person? But I'm here to tell you, Jesus is a real person. and he sits at the right hand of God. He was born of a virgin. He did walk this earth for some 33 and a half years, a perfect sinless life. He did go to an old rugged cross and shed his blood. He was laid in the tomb dead, dead, dead. He was raised from the dead on the third day. He did ascend to the Father. He is sitting there tonight, and he still expects us to trust and believe his word.
Sure. Real person. See, none of these new doctrines, isn't it an amazing thing? None of these new doctrines were taken from this old King James Version of the Bible. No. It always has to be from some new version. You know, the latest surge against the gospel has developed as this NIV has become more popular. And have you heard? They came out with a new NIV. Isn't that exciting? And they've been telling us for years that it's so superior to our old Bible. And if it's so superior, how come they have to have a new one? God hasn't had to change this one. It's still working the way it's always worked. It's still as powerful as it's ever been. I mean, God's still using it in wonderful, miraculous ways. Sure He is. Yeah. But it's scary now because we have a generation of church people that have had no Bible but the NIV. That's all they've had. And we can see what it produces. Because a total commitment to the teachings of the NIV as the Word of God, which it's not, will present a totally different Jesus Christ than He who lived and walked upon the earth 2,000 years ago. They have a completely different picture of Him. The modern contemporary churches of today have developed this image and they practice this new Jesus. But listen to me tonight, please. It matters not what man may create and what man may visualize in his own religious mind. The Jesus of the Bible is the Son of God. And He has His own way and requirement that man must follow. To reject the way of Christ is to pronounce man's doom.
The world doesn't like to hear that, but it's still the right way. It's still the right message. Jesus is the way. He said it Himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Lord Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It brought out a lot of new stuff. What is an Old Path Baptist? Well, Old Path Baptists hold true to the New Testament theology as it was taught by Jesus Himself. Aren't you glad you have a Bible? And we get our teachings from Jesus Himself and then from His disciples. I mean, God gave it to us through His men. And we know that the Baptist church was started in the Gospels and it was commissioned in the book of Acts and it's discipled in the epistles. Isn't that right? Sure it is. Luke chapter 6 and verse 13 says, "And when it was day, He called unto His disciples and of them, listen, and of them He chose 12, whom also He named apostles." Now this is very, very important. Remember this. It's very, very important. This is the formation of the first New Testament Baptist church. Well, how do you know, Mr. Smarty Pants Preacher? Well, because Paul tells us so later. No, really, he does. Over in 1 Corinthians, listen to this. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, the Bible says, "And God hath set some in the church," listen, "first apostles." Well, when did He do that? Okay, back up. Luke chapter 6, verse 13. "And when it was day, He called unto Him His disciples, and of them He chose 12, whom He also named apostles." First church. Jesus Christ started it. Sure He did. Paul's telling us what Christ did during the days of the Gospels. the placing of the apostles in a church took place there in the book of Luke. And we know that it was already complete in Acts chapter 2, don't we? Because there were 3,000 souls added to the church on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost wasn't the origination of the New Testament church, as C.I. Schofield states in his notes on Acts chapter 2. And if you add to something, that means it's already there. And 3,000 souls were added to the church on that day. Therefore, the New Testament church was already established and functioning. And Jesus, excuse me, stay with me. Well, I tell you, but that's just Paul. What about Jesus? Well, Jesus tells us that it was in existence during His time here.
Well, I guess you're going to try to prove that.
I don't have to prove anything. Let me just read the Scripture to you. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, Jesus said, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church." Jesus said that. He said it. But if you neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Tell it unto the church. What church? The church that was started in Luke chapter 6, verse 13. Same church. Same church in Matthew chapter 18, verse 17. Same church as Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily as just should be saved. Same church as 1 Corinthians 12:28. The church that Jesus started. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, Jesus said. Excuse me. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus Christ Himself started the church. He was the founder of the church. And let me just go ahead and say, to be an Old Path Baptist, you got to believe that. Why? How come? Because it's in the book. And we believe the book. No, really, we do. We believe it. Just the way it's given to us. Well, we believe a lot of things different. We still believe that salvation is by grace. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's no new salvation. You're not going to work your way to heaven. You're not going to be baptized all the way to heaven. I'm telling you, you're not going to be good enough to get to heaven. It is by grace through faith. Amen. Absolutely so. Yep. The same as Paul preached. It's the one that we preach when we go soul winning. It's the one that we preach when we go out there and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. An Old Path Baptist, they try to live a godly life. To the Old Path Baptist do. We still believe we're supposed to live a godly life. Because God says so. I mean, we still believe in separation from this wicked world unto a holy God. We believe that men should look like men and women should look like women. We preach against smoking and drinking and dancing. We preach against going to the movies. We preach against mixed women. We preach against worldly music. We preach that a good Christian will be in church and Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. We preach that husbands should love their wives like Christ loves the church. We preach that wives should be in submission to their husbands. That's not real popular anymore. We still preach that. We preach that children should obey their parents and the Lord, for that is right. We go against the grain of this world when we preach those types of things. And when they say to you, "Hey, that just rubs my fur the wrong way," we just tell them, "Hey, turn the cat around." Because we have to preach it. We're commissioned by God to preach it. Okay, let me stop right here for just a second. I'm not talking about being mean-spirited. Let me stop for just a second. I'm not talking about running off new Christians because they don't have the standards you think they should have in 6 weeks after they get saved. That's not what I'm talking about. No. We let the Holy Spirit of God do the work. But that doesn't mean we don't teach and preach what we're supposed to teach and preach. I'm not talking about being mean spirited. I'm not talking about just trying to make people mad. I'm not talking about pushing people further than even the Holy Spirit wants to push them at that time in their Christian life. But I am talking about preaching the book. I mean, preaching it hard, preaching it strong, preaching it the way that God would have us to preach it. Because it is the teaching and preaching of that book that will change lives. And if we don't tell them, how are they going to know?
Amen.
How are they going to know?
That's right.
We have to continue to teach it. We have to continue to preach it. It is our responsibility. God has called us to preach the Word. Preach the Word. Tell them. Let them know what God says. Yeah. We preach, thus saith the Lord, without the fear and favor of man, without the fear and favor of women. We're not trying to build our own kingdom, and we're not some kind of a country club. We are a mouthpiece for God, and we trust Christ to build the church as we follow Him. I will build my church. We follow Him.
Brother Marshall, we preach like that. How are we going to build the church?
Not your responsibility.
He said, I will build my church. You be faithful. I'll build my church. It still works. It still works.
People's lives are changed. People surrender to the ministry. They go all around the world preaching the gospel. Families are changed. Moms are changed. Dads are changed. Children are changed. I mean, it still works. It still works. And when we begin to water it down with great hopes it will draw greater crowds, it don't work. I'll say it again. It doesn't work. Even Bill Hybels himself here just recently said, we have gathered great crowds, but we have not produced a spiritual group of people.
That's not an exact quote, but that's what he said. He said that. He realized that they've missed it. And they missed it when they quit preaching the book. When they got off the old path. When they started trying to figure out some new way that they could get it done. Some new way. Excuse me, I just got to stop here for just a second because it aggravates me so bad. I was watching, don't hate me for it, but I was watching Joel Osteen. I am a new pastor trying to pick up some tips, you know. I mean, he does have a big congregation and all. I thought, no, if I could just get, but I'm not getting a perm. I'm not going to get a perm. I've pretty much decided against that. Anyway, I was watching Joel Osteen. You know what he was preaching? No, excuse me. You know what he was preaching? No, let me tell you what he was preaching. You don't mind if I tell you, do you? He was preaching Dave Ramsey's book. Now, at a particular time, I was watching him. He was preaching. And what he was preaching, hey, I'm not against Dave Ramsey. Don't look at me like that. I think he's got a pretty good plan to keep us out of debt, get us out of debt, all those different things. But that's not what we're supposed to hear when we go to church. And I guarantee you, he was preaching Dave Ramsey's book. And people were just... they were just enamored by the guy. I mean, they were just soaking it up. It's like he's come up with some new revelation. He's the new prophet of the day. I'm all for having your finances right. I think we ought to have a budget. I think we ought to have a good testimony and paying our bills and all those different things. I think that we absolutely ought to be doing that. But I'm telling you, it is not the gospel of Dave Ramsey that's going to change people's lives. It's not that gospel. We can be in wonderful financial shape and still be the dregs of the earth, can't we? Preach the book. Well, it won't draw the crowds. Do you want a crowd? Or do you want disciples of Jesus Christ? Because there's a big difference. There's a big difference. So many today think that a Christian can live any way he or she may choose. But can I tell you tonight that can only be done by rebelling against the Bible and rebelling against the Holy Spirit of God? The Lord said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Let me just remind you a couple of things we've done. Old Path Baptists still sing old hymns. I love them. No, really, I do. Saved by the Blood of the Crucified One. One of my very favorite songs in that old hymn book. I just love to sing how I was saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. That was me one day. But He came and He lifted me. He did. The song about the old rugged cross, I mean, when I see the blood, it is awful hard. I love to sing those old hymns. And it's awful hard to glorify God when you're singing some contemporary song talking about how good you feel. I said, you're not going to glorify God by singing some song that just makes you feel good or talks about how good you feel. But I guarantee you one thing, when we start singing those old hymns that glorify Him, that honor and glorify Him, then you start feeling good. Oh, nobody wants those old hymns. They're just dry and dusty and everything. No, you're just dead on the inside somewhere. Because I guarantee you, when I begin to lift up my voice, and you just heard I ain't got much voice to lift up, but when I begin to lift up my voice and sing songs unto Him and honor and glorify Him and praise Him in that way, it sure makes me feel good. Absolutely so. Because I guarantee you, when we get God's attention by praising Him, by singing songs unto Him, He is the one that gives us those good feelings. He is the one that causes us to feel that way. He is the one that is honored by that, glorified by that. He is the one that turns His face and shines upon us and smiles upon us. He is the one that meets with us, that changes our lives. I mean, He is worthy of all honor and He is worthy of all praise. And we need to continue to lift Him up. Lift Him up. People don't like those old hymns. Well, Brother Marshall, let me ask you a question. Okay. Well, what do you think about putting hymns up on a screen like that? That's pretty wicked, isn't it? Oh, no. Well, I lost y'all there, didn't I?
You know that guy who was preaching about being an Old Path Baptist said it's okay to use one of them screens.
Well, I'm all for staying in the old path, but we don't have to be stuck in the past.
I'm telling you, we can use modern technology.
I'm not for putting some stupid hymn, I mean some stupid a chorus up there that you just sing over and over and over and over and over again. In fact, I think that if we're going to use that to sing the old hymns, that we ought to put the music score up there along there with it, make people think a little bit. But I'm not against using stuff like that. I mean, if it gets people to look up there and sing the songs, I'm not against that. I'm not. I think we can use modern technology to honor and glorify God, to help people to get to know God. I'm not against those things. I think we should move forward. Have you noticed it's not 1965 anymore? Really, it's not. It's about time we came up. It's about time we updated. Come on, it's about time we caught up. Really, it's not wrong to use those types of things if we're going to use it to do what God has called us to do. It's just not wrong. I love those old hymns. And however we can get the people to sing them, I think we'll use that method to get them to sing them. Sure. Yep. We still believe in this old King James Version of the Bible. We're not looking for any new version. We're more interested in teaching people what God says. And I can spit and fume and sputter about that for a little while. I'll save you that. Because we're King James people here. I know that we are. Old Path Baptists don't accept alien immersion. We don't. According to the book, we don't. Well, I don't see what the big deal is, Brother Marshall. Good grief. You're going to start on that. I figured you'd start on that. But yeah, well, you know. I got you here and everything. If it's not that big of a deal, how come so many people died for baptizing people that had already been, quote-unquote, baptized into the bunch of re-baptizers? We're not re-baptizers, we're baptizers. They called us re-baptizers.
No, no, no. We were baptizing. Baptist baptism. Okay, that scares some of you. Then we'll just call it biblical baptism. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Baptist baptism. It'll keep your church pure. It'll keep problems from arising out there in the congregation. I'm telling you, God meant for it to be that way. And there are millions of people that died because they were willing to go ahead and re-baptize. There were people that died because they were willing to be baptized into a local New Testament church. And would not, and would not even tell people who baptized them. They were just glad they followed God.
Yeah. Amen.
If it's not that important, why did all that happen?
Yeah. Amen.
Excuse me. Do you think that that has changed in the 21st century? I don't think it's changed at all. Heavens no. We're Old Path Baptist.
Amen.
I mean, we're sticking in there.
Yes, we are.
We're going to hang in there. The whole world's going the other way, Brother Marshall. Hallelujah. Let them go any way they want to go. Let's go God's way. We don't accept alien immersion. While I'm there, I might as well just go ahead and say it. Old Path Baptists believe that supper's for the Lord's church. For the local New Testament church. For that particular body. Yeah. It's always been that way. Heavens to Betsy. Well, good grief, Brother Marshall. I just don't see, you know, somebody comes in, they're of like faith. I just don't see that big a deal, you know. I mean, what if Paul came to your church? Well, I'd tell him to go back to his church if he wanted to partake of the Lord's Supper. And by the way, no, excuse me. No, people have asked that before. Surely somebody's asking that. What if Paul came to your church? Well, if he came to our church when we were taking the supper, he wouldn't even want to partake. He'd say, well, I need to wait till I get back home. Okay. Look, if you're not going to let visitors vote on the color of your auditorium carpet,
for you visitors that are here, we have to take a vote tonight about that we need new carpet for the auditorium, and we're trying to vote between this color or that color. And if you don't mind, I mean, it's for church members only. We're going to vote about this thing.
If you're not going to let them vote about the color of your church carpet, why would you let them participate in something that is such greater importance?
It doesn't make any sense to me when people try to justify themselves.
I mean, you don't even know what their status is in their local church.
Well, Marshall, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to just go one by one? Oh, no, you can take it. You can't. You can take it. You can't. You can't. You can take it. You can't.
Well, no, the best way to do it that I've found is I've traveled around different things, and I'm not acting like I know everything. I've just tried to observe some things along the way. The best way I've found to do it is to have it on an off night. Like a Tuesday night, whatever other night you might choose. Oh, excuse me. And the local assembly, the local body, they know it's for them. Would you agree with me? Would you agree with me? It's a very special time. Excuse me, I'm getting his way. I think he saluted me over there. Would you agree with me? It's a very special time. The Lord's Supper, I mean, is so very special. It's so, so very special. Don't you believe, excuse me, I'm not trying to push my way off on you, but don't you believe that it ought to be a real special service? I mean, just a very special service. A time that's set aside just for the observance that God left there for us of the Lord's Supper. I mean, just a very special time where we come in and our mind is just upon that, and we partake of the Lord's Supper, a little preaching, partake of the Lord's Supper, that we all leave out of there with what we've just done on our mind. I mean, don't you think that that's just a pretty good idea?
It is a special time. It is for the local church. The local church. We believe that. Let me just stop. God has set the standard for His church. He set the standard. Are we more interested in pleasing... Listen, I'm done. Are we more interested in pleasing Him than anyone else? We should be. Because if we get with His program, you know the program, I will build my church. If we get with His program, it still works. Yeah. And don't forget, we are Old Path Baptist. We are.